We have switched studios. We're switching tact because between the jigs and the reels, this is going to be one of the biggest weekends of sport across Donegal. Of course, we have Donegal continuing their journey, hopefully towards a third All-Ireland, who's to say. But one thing for certain is the Donegal International Rally kicks off. And it's obviously, there's a certain amount of days where the competition actually takes place, but there's so much more that goes on, of course, as well. And we have a whole host of people to discuss this. I'm going to say good morning first to Oisín Kelly, who is our head of sport. Hi, Oisín.
Good morning,
Thank
Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. All right, you're nice and loud. Okay, I'm a bit louder now. Right, okay, so before we take in some of our guests, and I'll introduce them in the moment, I mean, this is it, isn't it? This is the jewel in the motorsport crown for us here in Donegal, and arguably across the island.
Oh, without doubt, Greg. This is the biggest rallying event there is in the country, and you could make the argument that it's probably one of the best events right across Europe, and you see that this year when you have drivers of the calibre who have won a European Rally Championship, like Hayden Patton, twice European Rally Champion. John Armstrong, who got a podium in the ERC last year. And obviously we have our own Irish drivers as well who are competing, including the defending champion, Callum Devine. We'll go into a lot more of that later on. But this is the big one. This is the event that they all want to compete in. And this is the event that motorsport enthusiasts, they block off every year when the calendar's done, Greg, that they want to make their way here to Letterkenny and to Donegal. And we've got fantastic weather for it. Hopefully it continues throughout the weekend. And we're going to kick it all off this evening with the ceremonial start, which has now become a very, very popular part of the rally.
We'll get to that. Eamon Clark of the course, Eamon McGee, Clark of the course of the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally, and Wilton Recycling recently committing to back this competition into the future, which is vital. In terms of setting up the... I don't know if I have my own fader up. I mean, how long have I been doing this? I have it half up. Okay, hopefully you can hear me better now.
We'll get Markin to give you a hand.
Someone would be nice. Okay. Yeah. Eamon McGee, do you have to do this all on your own, or do you have people that help you?
No.
So come here, talk to me about the course layout, you know, what we might see this year, what's familiar, what might change a little. I'm fine, Mark, I'm all right, I'm only joking. Sure. Go ahead, Eamon.
What we planned to do the year, we went in the Shone last year, very successful, what happened in the Shone on the Friday, so we're going back to the Shone again. Basically running the three stages that we ran last year, but a couple of tweaks, you know, we changed a couple of directions on them and stuff like that, so hopefully that will work out. So that's Friday. Saturday morning, again, what we were doing is we were reversing the evening stages to the morning, and Nicole will be running Saturday morning. This year it'll be running at 2 o'clock in the evening, later in the evening, so them four stages are the same. Sunday we have a version.
Pull that mic into your wee bit, Eamon. Good man. Okay. I know you're shy, but come on.
But the Sunday stages, we'll be running a version of Cairn Hill, and the Anti-Drive and Fannett again, finishing off in Fannett. They're all run. All the stages over the weekend are run twice. Over the weekend, so
yeah, and it was interesting. It was interesting listening to some of the drivers at the launch down there at the council offices. Different guys looking forward to different things, different challenges, parts that they will excel in. There's something for everyone, isn't there? From a competitor's point of view.
Oh, definitely. So we tend to, you know, they have their fast flowing stages, some of them, and then there's some of the stages are tight technical stages, you know, where there's not much to be gained. Any man that does it gain a second or two in it, it'll be to his benefit. You know, that's the kind of way the whole course is laid out over there.
Yeah, and Brian Brogan, chair of the Donegal Motor Club, you know, the level of interest in entries, those that have been lucky enough to get a start and spot, but also those on reserve lists, it just goes to show, doesn't it, that this rally really does hold its space in the calendar.
There's no doubt it doesn't drop at all. There's more and more interest every year, and to be fair, it's a hard job for Eamon and the team to make it happen. But you have, when you're dealing with almost 300 entrants over the weekend, it's a challenge in its own right, and the quality of the entry is getting better every year. So you always, while you welcome some of the top drivers, you have to feel, I suppose, for some of the competitors farther down the field that they can't get an entry. But again, that's a challenge, and there's there's options there for everyone.
But that's what you want, isn't it? You need things. Successful things are often oversubscribed, and you know it's just part of the success of the event. You need people to miss out, almost as screwed as that sounds.
That's true. There is, you know, there's people have to go out and marshal and get there, and that's fantastic, and then make that happen. People have done that, but again, when you're welcoming in some of the best drivers in the world now at this point, and some of the people all over the world want to come here, it's great for us as a county, and again for tourism and everything else. You know, it proves that the event is getting better and better, and it's getting more traction around the world. And I'd safely say, with the amount of competitors that we have now from the Academy and Motorsport Ireland, and they're going further afield and competing across the world, that's drawing more attention to Ireland. And that's probably one of the reasons why we have such an interest from the competitors and ERC and WRC showing an interest in Donegal too.
David McIlwain, Senior Executive Engineer with Donegal County Council. What's the local authority's role in this?
Yeah, well, a lot of our...
And good morning, by the way. Where's my manners?
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. No, a lot of our involvement starts with road closures and that, and the manage working with the ambulance service, the Gardaí, and the motor club in the lead up to the rally. Like there's a large scale of road closures. If anyone wants to get knowledge of them, they're on the Donegal County Council website. They can see has all the details of the road closures. There's road closures locally, and today here in Letterkenny, of course, there'll be one from about 4:15 to 8:30 on the Port Road between the station roundabout and then tomorrow the road closure in the service area in Carndonagh. As well as that, we've been working with the emergency services, and there's a road closure in the Cullen Road to facilitate access for the emergency service to the town from tomorrow, from 2 p.m. tomorrow till 2 a.m. Saturday morning, and 10 a.m. Saturday to 2 p.m. or 2 a.m.
And it's one of those things too, isn't it? It's about limiting inconvenience. Obviously, if you have an international event on this scale, especially run on public roads, there's going to be some level of inconvenience. That's the bottom line. But it's almost like a rolling situation, isn't it? It requires a lot of planning and liaising between different various groups, because we can see there is inconvenience, but it's getting the closures in is when they need to be in, getting them lifted when they need to be lifted, and making sure that traffic such as emergency traffic can move as best as is possible given the road network and our demands on it.
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. Like, there is contingencies there, like, and there's a flexibility, I think, with the Gardaí and that manning it to allow access when it's not needed. Like, for the example there, the Cullen Road, like the businesses, there will still be access as allowable for the businesses that operate out to Cullen Road, and it's important for their customers to be aware of that. And as well as that, like, we've put in a contingency measure on the Sunday for the parking provided at an area adjacent to Neil T. Blaney Road there, just across the road from the Public Service Centre. That would encourage people who are going to the finishing event or the ramp event to go there and park there. That would help a lot with the regards traffic congestion.
Now, we're talking about various different roads around the place, right? Neil T. Blaney Road, Cullen Road, and people might not necessarily know what they are. It's all very well signposted, isn't it? And there'll be stewards there, the Gardaí will be there. And it's like everything, you know, the more compliant the public is with the signage, with the guards, with the stewards, and that we'll talk about out on the course as well, that's vital as well, the more smoothly everything runs, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? But it will be very clear. You can plan out your weekend, you can see where the road closures are, you can see where the parking is. You know, we're not expecting everyone to remember everything we're talking about right now, David.
Yeah, no, that's correct. Like, all the details are on the website, the council's website, those parking areas. And if people just want to take a look, they can plan their day around that, you know, and give them that.
Brilliant stuff. You're not completely off the hook. I'll get back to you in a moment. But I want to talk to Inspector Paul McGee on Garda Síochána, former national winner of the Donegal Rally, a navigator. Paul, I didn't know that. Is there any beginning? I mean, is there any end to your talents?
That was the past, unfortunately.
Okay, listen. The Garda role in this weekend is vital. And ironically, we've got you in here and we're going to be speaking to our good friend John Joe McGowan in a moment. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about, Paul, it's not rally fans. It's not the people that are going to be on the stages. It's not the people that have come in because they love rallying. It's probably going to be that sort of almost secondary event that is just come to Donegal because the rally's on. And I think that's going to take up much of the guard of work too over the next number of days.
Yeah, well, to set the scene, first of all, it's the biggest sport operation that we run in Donegal on an annual basis. It's also the biggest sporting event in the northwestern region, and it's also the biggest event on the major emergency management calendar for the different PRAs on the Western Seaboard of Ireland. So a serious amount of resources go into this event. For example, this weekend, we'll have the Air Support Unit down giving us support. We'll have public order units working at the nighttime economy in Letterkenny. And we have various roads policing units coming from Dublin. We have members coming from Munster, right across the Western region. So it's a huge operation. We have a centralised rally control room as well with the other agencies, the motor club, the local authority, the National Ambulance Service with John Joe, the motor club, so we're all inside in that control centre, effectively running the operation from there. And then outside of that, then we have a normal day-to-day policing. Like for normal people that are not into motorsport or following this event, we have to look after them too and make sure, as you said earlier, that the event runs off without impacting on day-to-day, normal day-to-day in Donegal.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, we've already talked about the Garda approach to this, and you can put some figures on it for us. But in terms of, you know, policing, extra resources, air resources, the fact that diffing, even if you're not on a public road, you know, is questionable under the law. The level of enforcement in terms of modified cars, the level of tint, exhaust, lowering. It doesn't matter if it passed an NCT at some point. It has to be roadworthy right now. And if you're coming into Letterkenny, you know, you're going to encounter a guard, and the guards have been quite clear, Paul, and I'm sure you'll drive this home. You know, people are going to fall foul of the law if they seem to be breaking it.
Well, absolutely. I actually wouldn't say Letterkenny. Our operation has started this morning. So from Galway over as far as County Down, Fermanagh, we've roads policing units in conjunction with the police service in Northern Ireland. It's going to be a zero tolerance approach. And, you know, we have new legislation that was enacted last year under the Road Traffic Act where we can seize a vehicle on site, you know, and that's just going to be the way it will be this weekend. It'll be zero tolerance. I'd ask the public, you know, if they do witness any dangerous driving, that they report it to us, that if they have dash cam or any footage, phone footage of it, to keep it for us. We will be under... It will be extremely busy, so we will get back to you. You know, if we can't get it sorted there and then, we will come back to you.
Calls will be prioritised, which is to be perfectly understood, of course, because people will be ringing in potentially with noise pollution and all that type of stuff. And the way you want it, Paul, I think we're all in agreement in this room, is that you want people to come up, have fun, enjoy it, but, you know, do so safely and within the confines of the law. Because, as you mentioned too, we do see sometimes a peak in arrests at the time of the international rally for public order offences. You know, people maybe having a few too many drinks and what have you. Again, resources are there to deal with that to ensure Letterkenny is as safe as is possible.
Yeah, we have we'll have the event itself being policed, and then Letterkenny is policed on a separate operation. And most people that come to this event are here to have a good time. As you said earlier, the people that are watching the rally, they go out, they get up early, they go and watch the rally, they respect the local residents and they respect the roads in Donegal. There is a certain cohort that come to Donegal for the weekend. They attend some of these different events. These are in private areas, but my ask and Ungar Síochána's ask to them is, when they're on the public road, they respect the public road, they respect the road users, and they respect the people in Donegal over the weekend and during the event.
Yeah, and I've mentioned Letterkenny a couple of times, just in terms of the policing side of it. You know, as you quite rightly pointed out, it's people travelling here, but there's satellite towns. Donegal Town, there's people stay down there, Ballyshannon, Downings, Milford, you know what I mean? So it's not just in Letterkenny where you can expect to encounter Ungar Síochána. John Joe McGowan, General Manager, Operations with the Ambulance Service. You know, again, this is one of those things, the quieter you are, the more successful almost every other element of this process has been.
Fingers crossed, Greg, yeah, and that's in collaboration with the likes of Paul and his team and David and the council's team and the Donegal Rally team. But to take you back to the start of this whole journey and how we became such a team, and it's a team that we do in relation to this, 3 or 4 years ago, we all came together. The rally became so big, so popular and so vast that we sort of decided we had to change the way we do things in relation to this. We came together. The Rally Control Centre was always there. We incorporated ourselves and the Ambulance Service, the Council and the Gardaí then into that and sort of developed it from there. And every year on year it's become bigger. The planning's become more vast and advanced. So this year the planning started back in January or February, our first meeting with the Gardaí, then in the Council, and then we bring in the Motor Club and we hear their plans, and then we go away and further develop our plans associated with that. But I think the important part of it is that we all work as that team together, and then that we all sort of know what each other's plans are and know how we're going to do business, and that makes it a whole lot easier for us to operate then, because it's difficult to run a Gardaí policing service, an ambulance service, and then throw 10, 20, 30, I don't know what the figures are. Is it 50,000 people maybe into it, and a whole load of road closures, and it ends up in a fun weekend for me and Paul and David anyway. The boys have fun, we have to work.
Of course, but it's all done in collaboration, which is great, and maybe people underestimate too sort of the active role the National Ambulance Service and you here in this part of the county have in liaising, be it in road closures, big events, you know, road developments, yeah, etc. There is a key role for you to play in that regard.
Yeah, and not only that, the ambulance service is one part of it, but the whole health system as a whole, like we still have public health nurses out there, we still have home health services that have to be provided on the closed roads, and then you enter into the event medical plan in relation to the competitors getting injured or crashes happening on the stages, and then incidents happening in relation to non rally event incidents that happen on a stage and getting us in and getting us out. And that's all done via the control centre. It's huge collaboration, and it works really, really well. The technology, it's I just was chatting to Brian about this at the start, for yourself to come down and see the technology that's involved in the Rally Control Centre. It's like something you'd see in a space station. It's massive at this stage, and it's hugely, yep, technology, and we can see everything that's happening. The Garda helicopter feeds into that, the rally cars are tracked, the ambulances is all tracked, and that all feeds into one system, which is massive in the end.
I'll get more from you in a moment. Someone pulling me up on calling it an international rally. Oisin, can you confirm there'll be people from outside of Ireland taking part in the rally? That's international, that, yeah, will do. We're not getting to semantics.
I had a conversation with Dennis Ferry this morning because we were down organising the ceremonial start for this evening there, and he talked about guys coming back from Australia.
Yes, international.
Coming from America. Yeah. Hayden Padden's a New Zealander, so is, and there's obviously competitors from the UK who are also coming. It is an international rally.
I know, and I'll say to the caller, who was very nice in how they pointed it out, but I do understand. Yeah. I was just saying that as a non-rally person, so to speak. The emphasis on spectator safety and responsible driving throughout the weekend is commendable, says the listener, but as a resident on the back road of Drumkeen, and I think we all know that road, will I see a Garda presence on the back roads? Now, I sometimes I think maybe you need to go into Google Maps and zoom back a bit and to see the network of roads that we have in this county. It's really, really quite remarkable. So in asking you this question, Paul, Inspector Paul McGee, you know, you can't be everywhere, right? But what's your response to a listener with those concerns?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we rely on the public to report incidents of dangerous driving to us, and we can't be everywhere at any one time. We have patrols for the weekend. We have extra roads policing units in. We have normal patrols, you know, all around Letterkenny, the environs of Letterkenny, Inishowen, Milford, Donegal. Like we have drafted in a lot of resources for this event, and I'd be quite confident if there are issues anywhere that we'll be giving it a pretty sharp response.
Yeah, indeed. A caller says, the buzz here in Letterkenny is absolutely incredible. You can feel the Donegal rally fever gripping the county. It's truly unmatched elsewhere. And I really timely text that, I think, because obviously we are all here together to try and mitigate against things that could go wrong in the rally, which rarely do, thankfully. But in terms of, you know, but that doesn't take away how big a deal this is, how much fun it is, how excited people are. I don't want people to think I'm a boring fuddy-duddy. I'm not a boring fuddy-duddy, John Joe, am I? I'm not, am I? I want people to enjoy themselves, right? But it is brilliant, and it's fantastic, and it's exciting. And Oisin Kelly's going to help us set all that up, and we'll have more from all of our guests, of course. But first, we'll take a quick break and then rejoin us. We will be right back. Okay, the last hour of this Thursday show is all focusing on Donegal International Rally. We're in the company of our own Oisin Kelly, Brian Brogan, Chair of the Donegal Motor Club, Eamon McGee, Clerk of the Course of the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally, Inspector Paul McGee of An Garda Síochána, and of course the General Manager of Operations with the National Ambulance Service, John Joe McGowan, and last but not least, David Michael Wayne, Senior Executive Engineer with DCC. We'll get more from them, but you could argue the first half an hour has been a little bit like the vegetables. And now we're going to go to the ice cream. Oisin, if you get where I'm coming from. Right, Oisin.
So, flake with the dough,
huh? Yeah, of course. You stick anything, sprinkles. Right, so it starts tonight. As the listener said earlier on, they can already feel the buzz. They're excited, and it kicks off really tonight, doesn't it?
We're just talking there that the service trucks are all making their way into service down there at the old Unify site down at Kiltoy. So it's filling up very, very quickly with the service trucks, and the cars are coming, and then they'll go to scrutiny this afternoon, which is taking place in McGinley Motors on the Pierce Road. And then after that, they will make their way to the ceremonial start, where the cars will line up the Port Road facing down. The ramp is just outside on Green on Theatre. There's going to be live music from 5:30. And then from about 6:30 onwards, we'll be getting into the nuts and bolts of the ceremony.
And I mean, you can plan everything, but you can't plan the weather. And it's going to be glorious. So glorious. Big crowds expected.
Big crowds expected. Like last year, if we go back to last year, there was a huge crowd for the ceremonial start on the Port Road. And given the weather that's there today, we take it there's going to be similar numbers again, because there's a massive interest in this event. As you said at the start, this is the big one. Yeah. This is the one that they
plus
all
you get
want to
see all the cars with all the panels on them.
And from a spectator from a spectator point of view, this is the event that they want to come to. And they'll come, and they've been here since the days leading up to today. Be it competitors who are wrecking, or be it just rally fans that are coming in. As Eamon knows as well, there's lots of help comes in from around the country from Marshalls that they make a week of it here in Donegal. So the atmosphere is building towards what is expected to be an excellent evening. We'll be hearing from, you'll see the cars, but we'll be also hearing from the drivers as well, and some important people in motorsport circles this evening. So
with that in mind, obviously, you know, not everyone can attend. What coverage do we have so that people can sort of get a sense of the build-up from the comfort of their car?
Well, our score programme tonight is always starts after 7, but 7:05, and what we'll do is we'll bring the first, whatever, 40 minutes or so of the ceremonial start, and we'll put it out on air, so you can tune in if you're on FM across the Northwest, or be it in your smart speaker online, wherever you are. You will be able to hear what is going on from the ceremonial start, and at that stage we'll be speaking to the drivers, so the Calum Devine, Noel Sullivan, the crew is going for 3 in a row, and after that then John Armstrong, William Creighton, Hayden Padden, Josh Moffat, Marin Evans, lots of Donegal men who are competing will be joining us on the ceremonial start to look ahead to this event, which for some is obviously their home event, But what an event it is to have as their home event.
A lot of these guys are household names too. You know, there's a crossover with big events whereby it leaks into the world outside of the rally family, so to speak. You know, it's astonishing as you go through names and even those from outside the county. They are household names, such as their profile through this event and others.
Well, the biggest name that we have this year is without doubt Hayden Paddon. The New Zealander, he's going to compete in the C&M Motorsport Hyundai along with Dave Moynihan. They're actually here during the week. They called in after the recce on Wednesday. First time to meet him. Lovely fella, but a really, really talented driver. This boy's won on the WRC stage. He's a double European champion. So it gives so much credibility to the Donegal International Rally that we can have somebody like Hayden Paddon jumping at the chance, because that's what it was. A seat became available. Matt Edwards decided that he wouldn't be doing the event, and since it was a team entry, they needed a driver, and he is Mr. Hyundai.
Yeah.
And it didn't take much convincing for Hayden Paddon to come to Donegal. So it shows that when you mention Donegal and there's an opportunity for drivers across the globe to come do that.
But Eamon McGee, this is a great leveller, isn't it, really? Because, you know, you could be the best driver in the world, but sometimes nothing trumps a bit of experience on the course itself or a bit of local knowledge. So, as I say, it's a bit of a leveller too, isn't it?
That's for sure. Greg, you know, you have these, they rallied all over the world, but again, the likes of Callum, he knows where the cuts are, he knows where he can take a second here and there. And I think it'll be tight racing all weekend, like, between all these academy boys and Patton and them.
What will factor might weather play? Because I think generally it's dry, but you know there could be some heavy showers as well. So that's going to adjust sort of tyre choice and things like that as well too. And you know we have some real localised weather here. Sometimes you don't know what's around the corner. How big a factor is potentially the weather in this weekend?
Oh. You know, some man could have the rally won by 10 seconds and a shower of rain could change the whole format. Like, you know, there was one event, one year we would have had over the course, we had seven leaders of the event over the course of the weekend. So, you know, that's how close and how things can change. Shower of rain.
The weather's been changing since this morning. Because I checked it this morning and there was glorious sunshine the whole way through the weekend with a bit of rain to come on Sunday afternoon. That's now changed. So it is. So on Saturday it's given for a bit of rain later in the evening and earlier in the morning. So, and that could change again come tomorrow. And as you said, it's localised, but it has a huge factor on a race. Yeah. So it does.
And Paul McGee, when you're in the navigator seat, I presume you don't have the hourly forecast on as well, do you? So you're saying, right, a bit rain shower. It's not quite like that. No.
But you're always watching it.
Yeah, I would imagine you are. Oisin, break it down for us, because listen, the people that are in to rallying, they know everything, right? And will. But can you try and sort of explain the different categories for us, for those who might go, do you know what, I'm getting caught up in this, or, you know, that child's reaching a certain age. So there's different categories, different types of cars. I know it's complex, but could you try and explain that for in the simplest term, and maybe then mention a couple of names that are favoured in each?
Well, we talked about the main competitors there, obviously Callum and John Armstrong, William Creighton, Hayden Paddon, guys like that, who are all in Rally 2 cars, which are the top car to race in and Ireland and across Europe, worldwide, basically.
Are they all
apart from the WRC?
They're
all four-wheel drive. They're the elite class for this event. The only car that's deemed better than that is a Rally 1, which is only allowed to run on WRC events.
And are they chasing points in a wider competition?
Well, there's the Napa Auto Parts Tarmac Championship. Donegal is the latest round of that. Callum Devine leads that as well.
Yeah.
So, but it's not just that top class. There's so many categories.
Come down. I know there's an awful lot of them, but say maybe the top few.
Well, if you look at the list, the top 28 are all in Rally 2 cars, which is huge. Yeah. And then after that, you're going into the modifieds, the Class 14. So you have all those Escorts, the Mark II Escorts. David Bogie, Mark Alcorn, Connor Harvey, former winner Gary McPhillips, who won the modified in the national before. But Kevin Gallagher and Ryan Moore, the top seeds there, they have the Darien. They won it twice in recent years. So that's the two-wheel drive. And then after that, you're going on to lesser-powered vehicles and two-wheel drive cars, the Rally 3s, the Rally 4s, the likes of the Stellantis Cup, which involves a lot of Donegal competitors, Joseph Kelly, Kyle McBride, who are battling it out in that competition, are looking for points this weekend. They're involved in Rally 4 and Rally 3 cars. And then you go further down the class. And you have to remember that Greg, we might just talk about a section at the top. At the end of the day in motorsport and rallying, the heartbeat and the core is, as what we all know, is the clubman. There's guys out there who have stood on the side of roads, marshalling, gathering points, have saved all their money. They've stopped drinking, they've stopped partying, they've put their life on hold just so they can save money to put parts into, for an example, a Honda Civic. And they can compete in Donegal.
It's amazing.
And their dream is, like, these are young fellas that are 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age who are looking to do this rally and get to the finish. And this is their dream. And there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I was talking to a young guy this morning. Jason Wilkinson won the juniors last year. He won the junior category and he's going back out this year again. This is the be all and end all for him. This is what his life revolves around.
Yeah, and Brian Brogan, I beg your pardon, as well, too. The fans have their own favourite classes. You know what I mean? You might want to see the back end of a two-wheel drive slung out or whatever, or you might appreciate the speed of a different vehicle. I mean, fans, it's like football or any sport, really. You know, you have the people or the competitors or the types of vehicles that you're tracking.
There's no doubt the amount of people that actually come to the county, and a lot of them would have competed in the past as well, you know, from all over Ireland, and a lot of them, you know, they didn't have the privilege of driving a four-wheel drive car, but they like to come to see them. But you wouldn't believe how many people are not really impressed with a four-wheel drive. They like to see the tail out of Mark II Escort and stuff like that, and I'm one of them myself, to be fair, and that's just the era. But the younger people are more tuned in now, and it's more about what they're eating properly, drinking properly, fitness, athletes, that's where they're heading, and that's good too, it's great. But a lot of the people that will meet along the roads now, you might not have seen them for 10 years and you'll need to look twice to be sure it's the same boy and stuff like that. But they're really, really interested, and they bring a lot of people with them, and that's where the crowds come from. People that actually were here over the years and come here every year, they book the same accommodation, they'll stay in a B&B, they'll book it for next year, and that's where the repeat competitor and spectator comes from, which is fantastic for us too. You only see them once a year, maybe a wee bit unfortunate we don't have enough time to spend with them whenever you're going around.
That's
on the stage
it,
and stuff
yeah,
like that
yeah.
but the weekend flies in. But
and Eamon McGee, you know, an event like this can't be run without the cooperation of the local authority, the emergency services, but also the stewards who are out and about, and it's just imperative that they're respected. They know what's happening on the ground. They're the ones that have been trained. They know where it's safe, where it's not safe. They know where a landowner has been consulted or not consulted. It's really imperative, isn't it? Doing it maybe if they're lucky for a cup of tea, right? Because they love the sport, the volunteers. Mm. It's really important that their efforts are respected, because that's what makes this extra safe. That's what makes it run really well.
Very much so, Greg, because we'll have over something between 300 and 400 marshals coming for the whole weekend. And again, they know you'll get a lot of people gathering at the corner, but they know the dangers that have been there, because they've been out before and they're trained, as you said, to do that. So I would advise anybody that heed the advice of the marshal and make sure that they are all safe. And one thing that we will do, and that if it's not safe and if the marshal's in trouble with crowds and something, he can make the call. We'll just that call can come back to the control room, and they say, right, we have a problem on location 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Right, just
pull it or whatever.
If it's not safe to run. So that's very, very important. That's very important. And the marshal has the power as well. So not power, but he has what we call the yellow flag. And if he doesn't feel it's not safe, if he starts waving the yellow flag, that warns the drivers. There's a danger ahead, slow down. So,
and you won't see the back end of a Mark II.
You won't see the back end.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
You know, just maybe one or two people mightn't be paying heed, but the rest would have to suffer. So, you know, all them things have been put in place to make sure that everything is run safely over the weekend.
All right, brilliant stuff. Listen, so much more to come from all of our guests, by the way. Oisin, Brian, Eamon, we've got Paul, John Joe and David. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and then we'll chat to all more in a few moments. So a caller says, Greg, for people like me that's into motorsport, this weekend is our All-Ireland final and the only three-day event in Ireland. Yes, indeed. And that's why, Osh, we take it so seriously. That's why we've got the coverage of the opening tonight and every stage throughout. Because we, in fact, dare I say, you've turned your back on the GAA.
Well... Yeah, I suppose so.
It's the one event maybe I might get you to concede something, but yeah.
I have the very reliable Brendan Devenny and Brendan Kilcoyne.
Yeah, the two Brendans,
taking up match commentary on Sunday. We have a very busy Sunday afternoon, yeah. So I had to weigh up everything. Myself and Chris are obviously out covering the rally for the full weekend. And the timing of the match is actually around the same time as the end of the rally. 4 o'clock the match starts at.
Well, you can't blame Eamon and Brian.
7 minutes
they
past
had
four.
This, they had this booked in a long time ago, right?
Yeah, we should get the rally people talking to the GA people.
We can't get the GA people talking to the GA people.
I know, yeah.
The women and the men kicking off at the same time in two different...
Busy and you just have to try and to figure it out. Yeah. And we've come up with a plan. And myself and Chris are covering the rally, which will be done extensively throughout the weekend. And the two guys, Brendan, the two Brendans, will do a fine job on Sunday afternoon.
And there's a couple of events as well as the main event, and there's one particular event actually that I love the fact that the rally is so inclusive, and it's ultra inclusive too, because lots of people want to be around those cars, but maybe it could be a bit overwhelming for some with noise and what have you. So there's a really nice event.
It's a
coming
brilliant
up as well.
It's a brilliant idea. So it is. The Motor Club have come up with this brilliant idea of a sensory friendly hour for. They want to be more inclusive, and they're bringing these children and young adults in to check out the rally cars on Sunday morning down at the Parc Fermé area, which is at the ATU car park, and it's designed for individuals with sensory sensitivities. And the cars will be there in all their glory. They'll have, and obviously they'll have the attraction of the colour and how they look, but there'll be no engines going, there'll be no fumes or heat coming off the exhaust, there'll be no crowds, only these children will get in to see these cars along with their families. So it's the perfect way for anybody and families who want to come in and have a more relaxed setting to try and experience the sport.
Yep.
And that's going to be at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, and it will run through to about 9.
Okay. So, of course, there's what about female competitors in the rally? Go to the Donegal International Rally page. There's actually a particular program focusing quite specifically on that, the role of women in the rally, but also in terms of getting more women participating in it. And Oisin Kelly spoke to a lot of people in the know there, and it formed
a special event.
We had a special event.
We had a special event, a special stream we did actually from the launch with women in sport. There's not enough.
Yeah.
We have women, the likes of Suzanne, who's in the office, who does a wonderful job down there. We've got Lauren Kelly, who sits on with her dad, Frank Kelly, as a navigator. I think there's only one female driver. So when you think about it, Greg, 200 crews, when you include all the classes, we have one female driver.
Yeah.
There's a handful of female.
We all recognise that, and the sport recognises it too.
And they're so working, and Motorsport Ireland have come together with the Women in Sport division and Women in Motorsport in particular, and they're trying to build on it.
Yeah. Okay, so, Paul, I want to go to you, Inspector Paul McGee. Listen, the bottom line is unfortunately we see a really high level of drink and drug driving in this county, and I know the guards are active on that all of the time, but this weekend in particular, guards are going to be all over the county, be it on the bridge in Ballyshannon or the bridge in Lifford or anywhere in between for that matter, and there's a zero tolerance, obviously, to drink and drug driving. There's going to be strong enforcement of illegal modification cars that are being driven dangerously. You know, obviously people are going to say, I called and this happened and that didn't happen. But the bottom line is if you're out and about on the roads today, and please be, I'm not condoning drug taking for a moment, but please understand how long that stuff stays in your system as well. It will be flagged. They've got the equipment. They've got the number plate recognition. You've got all the tools now, Paul. This is a very different policing operation than it might have been 5 years ago in terms of detection, right? So the message is get out, enjoy yourself, but do it legally, because the chances are you are going to get nabbed if you're not.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we all want everyone to have a great weekend, and we encourage that. But the big thing for us is just keeping people safe. And I'll make no apology. There will be a zero tolerance approach this weekend. You know, we've PSV inspectors drafted in from outside the county. They'll be on all the checkpoints. We have revenue and customs dog deployed that will be on checkpoints and will be in the town as well for detection of illegal substances. So, like, it'll be strict
well,
enforcement.
Even down to tinting, there's going to be machines out to check your tint, and the guards, if that doesn't comply, can seize your vehicle. I'm not saying they will, right, because they're oral, but that's what we're talking about, right down to how tinted your front windows are.
Absolutely. Our guys will be all briefed on detention of dangerous defective vehicles, and if there is a dangerous defective vehicle, it will be seized, and you will have to go to the court to apply to get your vehicle back. So, you know, we want a safe weekend for everyone. A big plea to the public, we need their help as well. To, you know, if they see any wrongdoing, anything going on the road, to please report it. Look, it's the weekend, there's going to be a lot of traffic on the road. We all know the infrastructure and the geography of Donegal, so we just have to what I would ask for people to leave in plenty of time if they're going somewhere. If Donegal is not their ultimate destination, that they avoid it. And Oisin mentioned earlier, and yourself, the GAA game throw in at 4 o'clock on Sunday. I would ask that people leave in plenty of time. Last weekend, my own county in Donegal played in Roscommon, and I was there very early, and so was the Donegal spectators. They were down very early, and I'd ask the same this weekend, to leave in plenty of time and to avoid Letterkenny if at all possible.
Can I formally apologise for what we did to you last week, by the way? But listen, Cavan's closer to our hearts, and you know, any comments on that? No. Final message
no
from
comment,
you.
No final come out. Yeah.
Oh, he's already got his eye on me. Final word from you, John Joe McGowan. We want to keep your crews really, really quiet, but we also need to keep them moving. And I might just ask a quick question, actually, by the way, in terms of Cullion Road. I don't know if this is John Joe or Paul. I'm a public health nurse, and I'm on duty this weekend. Can I access the Cullion Road in Letterkenny? Now, I know it's reserved for emergency vehicles.
No, there's no issue with that in relation to public health nurses or home health.
There's a flexibility in its monitoring.
Yeah, it's just if you have an ID and show it at the point, the checkpoints on the Cullion Road, there'll be no issue. And if there's any issue for the likes of home helps, public health nurses, if we can factor them all back via the rally control, and we'll sort that from there.
And just your messages is keep the race in its place, let's stay safe.
Yeah, you're putting me and Paul back as bad humbug now and taking the pressure off yourself.
he knows how it works, this guy.
it's keep the race in its place. Look, we do want everybody to have fun this weekend. We want the people to come in their droves. We want the excitement to build, and we want everybody to have a really enjoyable and good weekend. There's a few things to do that safely that we have to contend with, and that's drinking sensibly. Look, we're not abyss to it. There is drug taking. It has to be done in a sensible manner. We're not condoning it anyway. It shouldn't be done, but if it's been done,
you're in the same boat as me. We have to talk about it
in a sensible manner. Drink driving is a no-no. Drug driving is a no-no. But the other things then too, Greg, and we talk about the weekend that's going to be in the sunshine and all that there. The small little things, the wearing the sun factor, drinking plenty of water if you're out in the stages, keeping yourself well hydrated, being cautious too of the stages that are very difficult terrain to go over.
Weather
broken
right
ankles and that
there
are a big thing on the stages. So just look, everybody to be conscious of all that.
Darting across the road, folks. Please, no darting across the road. You know, I talked about how things are different now than they might have been 5 or 10 years ago, Paul. You know, people might think, right, I'm going to get the perfect shot with my DJ drone or whatever, right? So what is the rules, or are there any rules, especially with the air cover, are there any rules in terms of the use of drones?
Absolutely. Again, going back to what John just said, I don't want to be spoiling anyone's fun for the weekend, but in collaboration with the motor club and other agencies, there is a temporary restricted airspace in place over the stages and over the service areas, and that's for the safety of everyone, spectators and people therein. So the Aviation Authority will be publishing today temporary restricted airspace on the of all the stages. There's 10 locations, and then you have your service area and service parks. So that'll be drones, helicopters, any of that.
Anything that flies,
yeah, will have to be got from the aviation authority to go in there. There's one final thing I did not mention. There is a misconception, you know, that Letterkenny closes down for the weekend and not get in there. I think working with the motor club and the other agencies, the county council last year, and the presence of guards in the town, Letterkenny is definitely open for business. I was down there last year myself. It was actually quite during the day. It's in the evening time from 4 o'clock on usually that the traffic builds up, you know, so in conjunction with...
All right, Paul, good stuff. David McElwain, from the council's perspective, it's just really, I suppose, adhere to all the planning that's been put in there and stay safe.
Yeah, that's correct. Stay safe, and also remember the people that have to clean up after about litter and all that.
Good
because
call.
The importance
call.
Of... On Monday, we like to see the town nice and tidy again.
All right, Brian Brogan, we're going to be chatting to you over the course of the weekend, of course. Thanks so much. A big job and a great team that you have. Thanks so much for calling up to us. And, you know, you were quite strong in your words too in Letterkenny. It's in everyone's interest that, you know, we know the proper rally fans, but we also know there are sort of almost like satellite events. You know, let's just make sure everyone gets out of this safe.
Yeah, well, as was Greg and everything, all the multi-agency people around the table and others included, Eamon's team has been working with them for a long time now. It's important, I suppose, for us now. We're ready to hit the road running. Everything's in place. We know what we have to do. We're just asking anybody's coming to spectating, maybe on residence lands and stuff like that, to leave things the way you got it to, as David read it to there. And it looks to of rubbish or barbecues or beer cans or whatever they're doing. Just
take
leave the place the way you.
You
got it. Take it home with you and think about the people, the land that you're standing on. And look after one another too, and keep the race in its place, really, is the message.
And I know, Eamon McGee, you've got this all organised down to a T, and it will pass off smoothly, providing just everyone sticks to the basic rules. You're not looking for people to not enjoy themselves, but this planning goes in there for a reason.
That for sure. We've spent endless days and nights, even if you go over talking to residents and getting feels of them and different things like that. You know, we're running a bus service from the bottom of Nagala, which will be operating 2 hours before that to take them up to the top of the hill. And I think there is also going to be a bus service running from the Milford Mart up to one of the locations. We've got a farmer in that area that's given us location to put in.
But that information is available on our stuff, so people can get all that. Okay, listen, thanks very, very much indeed.